What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways? You work too hard to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
Good morning. My name is Andy. I'm the pastor here at Blue Ash Community Church. Thanks so much for coming. If this is your first time, in just several weeks here, September 17th, we'll be doing a free preview night for Financial Peace University. And as you can see, Dave Ramsey is very charismatic and very energetic. So this is a small sampling of some of the things that you'll look at over the 9 weeks. It's about $100, so it is an investment up front. But here's a couple of things I want to point out. The average family pays off $5,300 in debt in the first 90 days. So if you're like, hey, I could use $5,300 towards some debt, then this class is for you. You're going to learn some great principles, not just on like budgeting, certainly going to talk about that, but you're going to talk about your financial future as well. So we really want to encourage you to check that out. And here's the thing we've agreed to. If you sign up for Financial Peace University, you invest the $100 up front. So at this point, I forget how many weeks left. So it's about $25 a week probably if you just saved. Probably less than that, so don't skip lunch today. Put that aside, go home and eat, so you can invest in your financial future. If you attend 7 of the 9 sessions, we'll give you your money back, so that you can use that for your debt snowball, as Dave Ramsey talks about. So if you're interested at all in Financial Peace University, please just write right now on the back of your Connect card. If you didn't grab one, you walked in, there's one on your seat backs. FPU or Financial Peace University, drop that in the offering when it goes by. The leader of Financial Peace University will follow up with you. There's more information in your program as well, so check that out. But we really want to encourage you. This is a great opportunity to invite friends and family, coworkers, because it's going to be happening right here. And it's not even a church plug as much as it is a financial plug. Everybody could use some help in their finances. Enough about that. I'm excited today. We're going to be launching a new series called Belong. And we're actually partnering with a couple of churches in this series. One with our friends at North Star Community of Grace. We talk a lot about them. We get to hang out with them. I'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. So we're partnering with them. And also Sanctuary down in Over the Rhine. Sanctuary is a plant out of North Star. And they've always modeled each and every week their series. But this is one we've jumped in. And so for the next several weeks, we're all three going to be doing the same series, which is kind of cool, kind of exciting to think about. North Star has been a great friend of ours, a partner of ours in many different ways. We're partnering with them in this series. They're partnering with us in Financial Peace University. So they're talking about Financial Peace University that we're holding here and all of their locations. But I've been hanging out with them for the better part of 3 years. Craig and I go every other Wednesday to their staff meetings. And the off Wednesdays, I get to sit in and talk about some of their series that come up and their content and each individual message. So I've had kind of my hands in this one a little bit, so it's been fun to be a part of those conversations, but we're excited to just partner with them in as many ways as we can. They're kind of the church that we want to be when we grow up. They're a great church. They're about 14 years old. They did load in and load out for the first 10 years of their existence, so think about that. We're pretty blessed, almost 5 years in, to already have a space. So we continue to learn, and the neat thing about them, is which we're going to talk about, this whole idea of belonging, is it's great to be a part of an environment or a team where you feel like you fit in, where your values are similar. The expression of church is very, very similar. If you'd go to their church, I think you'd see their DNA imprinted here at Blue Ash Community Church. And it's just great to be a part of a team where you feel like you belong. Because there's something hardwired, there's a truth, there's a core value that we're all created for community. We all want to belong somewhere. And the root meaning of belong is it really helps with the choices we make. Like when you think of the whole idea of belonging, the choices you make figure out where you belong. And we can make some unhealthy choices and belong in the wrong things or with the wrong people, or we can make the right choices and be with the right people and the right things. And when we're in those environments where we belong and they're healthy, we find ourselves not just in deeper relationships, which is certainly a core value of who we are, but it helps restore this connection to God in many ways. It helps us to dream and chase our own dreams. So the themes we're going to be looking at this whole series of belonging if you want to take notes. The first one is this, is we belong to Jesus. This is the core of the whole idea of belonging. We have to get this one right first. This is first and foremost. Our desire, wiring to belong, is so strong that we need to belong to Him first, because if not, we're going to belong in unhealthy environments and with unhealthy people doing unhealthy things. And we've all probably have stories of this. It's the example I like to use is, you know, when you're making bad choices in your life, if I were to ask who you're hanging out with, who are the people that are influencing you, they're probably the same people that were doing the same things that you were that were wrong. And when you find yourself making really good choices in life, and if I were to ask that same question, well, who did you belong with, or who was your sphere of influence, you would tell me about the healthy people and the healthy things that they were doing to push, and you would strive for different things. I have lots of examples of this, but since school has just started, I was reminded of one when I was in school. I think I was probably fifth, sixth grade, and this group of people, some of whom I was acquainted with, were starting to do some really bad things to a certain group of people. And I can remember that I got kind of lumped in with this group of people that were picking on these other classmates. I wasn't picking on them. I was a skinny redhead. Who was I going to pick on? Everybody picked on me. But I got kind of lumped into this. So then there became this other group that was going to take care of the group that was picking on people. You follow me so far? So that group decided, well, I was the smallest one in this other group that I thought I was a part of, so they started coming after me. And so these fights started breaking out, which was really weird for me because I never got in a fight. I just watched everybody else fight, some of which were fighting over me, which make me feel really good. But I'm like, guys, I don't belong to either group. Like, but I didn't do a very good job, pretty insecure, fifth or sixth grade. I didn't stand up for myself. I didn't say where I belonged. So I got lumped into this group that I didn't even belong to. And that happens to all of us in some points of our lives. We could probably look back on our lives, or there'll be a part in our lives that we go, man, I was labeled to be in such a group, and I never was even part of that group, because we don't do a good job of saying where we do belong. That's the key importance of being in the right group, saying, hey, I belong to Jesus, and kind of separating yourselves from some of those things, where you belong. We throw this word belong around a lot. You see this a lot at work. You talk about different groups or committees that you belong to. You know, some people throw it around like, well, let me tell you about the country club I belong to. You know, some people use it as a pride thing. But this whole idea, this whole concept of belong is so core to who we are that if we don't get the Jesus part right first and find our identity in Him, we're going to look like we belong to these different groups that we don't. And so we have to learn how to pursue and what it looks like to be a follower, a belonger of Jesus. That's first and foremost. That's the theme that we'll look at over the first couple of weeks. Then the next couple of weeks, we're looking at this theme. We belong to a larger family. Family takes care of one another. So if you're an unhealthy family, or you were in one growing up, this is kind of a struggle for a lot of us. It's one of the things, like, when God identifies Himself as the Father, sometimes that takes on some very negative thoughts in a lot of our minds. But a family takes care of one another, a true family, a loving family. And the role of a church family is really threefold. It's a school, it's an army, and it's a hospital. The church needs to be a place where learning is continuing, where learning is happening, where you're learning about Jesus, who Jesus was, what Jesus did, and what Jesus can continue to do when we are in a relationship with Him. It's a place, a school, is where we do this through, and our expressions are through Sunday mornings. We hope to be a school in many ways, where we're teaching you a little bit about the application of what the Bible teaches and how that affects our lives. We can be a school where we can learn about one another. We can still continue to learn about Jesus. We pray for each other in volunteer teams, or just be an expression of the hands and feet of Jesus out in the community, or even here on Sunday mornings. We do this through our small groups or Bible studies, classes like Financial Peace University. Those are just some of the few of the ways that we try to be a school here at Blue Ash Community Church. Some of the ways that we're an army here at this church is certainly through our mission teams that we go out at least once a year, where we're going out and serving the orphan child out in Haiti, where it's not really even about them. It's about back-to-back and the holistic view that they have for the child, so they're not just feeding them. They're thinking about their education, their spiritual development, their physical needs, certainly, but their emotional needs as well. We just go out and we invest a lot of time and a lot of money just to literally be the hands and feet and be wherever we need to be just to serve. We do that in our community service projects, not just through like serving the city and partnering with them to be like Taste of Blue Ash. We're just literally engaging in conversation, and maybe that's the best engagement people have, the best customer service that they're going to have that whole weekend. We don't know, but we try to be the best that we can be in those environments. But a few Saturdays ago, we're partnered with a police officer, which we're going to hear from probably in the next month or so. She started this ministry called Neighbor to Neighbor. So a few weeks ago, just a handful of us went out and partnered with her and really just served somebody in our community in Blue Ash in a very practical way, where we cleaned out a house and did some upgrades to her life. And so that's something we're really excited about, the hope to kind of bring that initiative more into the DNA of who we are, to go out and just literally serve families with no strings attached. Those are just some of the ways that we can be an army. The hospital piece of that is a little more holistic. It's not the church like the organization being a hospital. In many ways, we want to accept people where they are. That's one of the ways that we do that on Sunday mornings. No matter where you are, you're welcome here. No matter what's going on in your life, you can be who you are. God loves you enough to love you where you're at, but he loves you enough not to leave you there. But some of the ways that we express that whole idea of a hospital, taking care of, being kind to one another, is maybe you know somebody that needs a meal. Maybe they need their house clean because things are going on that's so crazy. It's checking in. Hey, how are you doing? It's praying for people. It's inviting people over for dinner. That's our vision. That's our hope, to continue to do many of those things. But the nice thing about this whole idea of partnership, for lack of a better word, with North Star is they have these other ministry opportunities that we can partner with, that where they're really investing, like in the counseling piece of what that looks like, to help bring people. They have an organization called, or a ministry called, Next Level Freedom. So what would it look like if we could partner with them in some way where those of us that need to experience that next step, or that next step of freedom, as they call it, Next Level Freedom, how could we invest? How could we get people to experience those things? We get just a taste of that in some of the staff meetings, and it's just been fascinating conversation to leave there and go, man, that's the simplicity of what they teach and what works is so simple, but it's hard to sometimes put into practice. And that's what this whole ministry does, is give you the tools so that you can put that into practice in your everyday life. So those are some of the things that we hope to partner with so that we can be a better hospital as a church. The third thing that this series is going to accomplish, or the theme of, is because we belong to Christ, to Jesus, because we belong to a larger family, we're inviting others to belong. This is where, again, the belief in Jesus is at the core of everything. This is where the application of our life in Christ comes out. Those who know that they belong, if you belong to a great small group or a great church, or you go to a great restaurant or see a great movie, you naturally invite people to experience what you've experienced. And so that's where this is. This is where you ask people to join the journey with you. Some of that is simply inviting people to church. So we try to find ways to make that easier for people, because for whatever reason, it's like taboo. Like, it's hard to talk about, hey, I go to this church, you ought to come with me. So sometimes that can be awkward. So we try as best as we can to do things like, hey, the fun Sunday on September 10th is a great time, an easy way, especially if they have kids, to invite them. There's going to be a free food truck. Kona Ice is coming. There's going to be plenty of activities for the kids. It's all free. So that's a great way to invite people. Another way is we have these outreach cards that we give away when we do outreaches. You can grab those on the info table on the way out. You could simply hand this to your friend or coworker, neighbor, buddy, and just say, hey, if you ever want to come to church, at least you're going to get a free ticket. So if they turn this in, it says you get a free movie ticket. They bring this on a Sunday morning, and after church, they can redeem that for a free movie ticket. So we try to do things to make it easier for everybody to invite on a Sunday morning and just watch what God does, so that they know that they can belong here. That's the power. That's the feeling. When people feel like they belong to something, they'll start to move things and reorient things in their lives so that they belong at a deeper level. Because every choice we make affects where we belong, how we belong, and what we do in that belonging. And when we pursue Jesus first, that is the core of our identity. That is who we are. And here's the cool thing about Jesus. When we belong, when we are rooted in who Jesus was, what Jesus did, and what Jesus can do, we will start to walk in our true self. And what I mean by that is, like, you're not fake now, but the more and more you get tied to Jesus, the more and more you allow him to speak to you and through you, the more and more you become the person you were always designed to be, because that's who Jesus is. We start to take on his DNA. And when we belong to Jesus, the cool thing about Jesus is he never loses. Even when it looks like the odds are stacked against him, he never loses. He never loses a family member. When you become a family member of God, when you become a son or a daughter of Jesus, you're a part of his family. And sometimes that brings up these thoughts or negative thoughts about, well, what does that look like? And so we hear things like, well, you got to dress a certain way if you're a Christ follower. You got to talk a certain way. No cussing anymore. Like, Jesus died on a cross so nobody would cuss, which is a total lie. That doesn't mean you should cuss, but I get that on a golf course a lot. If I'm playing with somebody I don't know and they start cussing and then they ask me what I do, it's always fun to see them filter through their, what have I said already? And, oh, I'm sorry about that. I'm like, well, Jesus didn't die on a cross so you wouldn't cuss. Like, it was way bigger than the words you're using. That means we can't listen to certain music. And so we start to think these things, like, I can't drink, I can't smoke, I can't chew, I can't yell, I can't stand up for myself, all my values, I die to myself, that's what the Bible says, so I lose everything about who I am. And there's some truth in all of those things, but the cool thing about it is the way we speak, because it is the outflow of our heart. When Jesus starts to change our heart, he changes the way we speak. So it isn't that first, it's just love Jesus, let him do the work in you, and he'll decide for you or with you what you need to shift, what you need to adjust. Don't listen to what everybody else is saying. But what's Jesus say about that? What's Scripture say about your actions and the way you handle yourself or the way you handle money? That's why it's so important to do Financial Peace University. Not what other people say. That's the cool thing about who Jesus is he'll speak to you. He'll leverage you. He'll use you right where you are for his benefit, for his glory, for his kingdom. So if you're taking notes, we're going to jump right in this morning about what does it mean to be a part of God's family. We've kind of scratched the surface this morning, but let's dive a little deeper. So the first thing that it means is, like, if you want to be a part of God's family, is we have to resemble the Father. We have to resemble the Father. The discipleship means you are a learner. If I was discipling somebody, they would be learning what I've learned about what it means to be a Christ follower. We need to resemble the Father. The Father is our discipler. Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, just 27 verses in, says this. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now the Latin term, if you were to look up the Latin term for image of God, it refers to the uniqueness of God's creation. The uniqueness of God's creation. The unique fact that God created mankind, man and woman, to resemble him. To live in harmony with him, to belong to him, to be a part of his family. The likeness, which obviously includes not just his life that he lived, but some of his personality, the truth that he speaks, the truth that he offers, the wisdom that's offered in Christ, his love, his mercy, his grace, his holiness, his justice. All of that is a part of who he is and what he offers to us as we become followers of him. We have been created to belong to God's family, to be in his likeness, to resemble him. And the more and more we get to know him, the more and more we resemble who he is. And just like God, when he created mankind, he breathed his breath, Scripture says. And the Hebrew word there means spirit. Breath means spirit. And that's how man came alive. That same spirit is offered to us. The Scripture calls it in the New Testament the Holy Spirit. When we say yes to Jesus, that Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, is activated in us, which we'll talk about a little more in a moment. The second thing it means to be a part of God's family is you have a role. You have a role. We've got to resemble the Father. It means we've got to pursue him. The second thing is we have a role. This is what it says in the very next verse in Genesis. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number." Those are two different words, fruitful and increase. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Oftentimes when we hear this verse, if you've been around church long enough, a lot of us tend to think, well, that just means increase in number. Like, oh, we've got to have kids. Well, fruitful and increase. Fruitful means more than just numbers or more offspring. Fruitful means to flourish, to be productive. You have a fruitful, just talking to somebody this morning, like, we have this tomato plant, we got like 3 tomatoes on it. Well, that's not a real fruitful tomato plant. Like, you want it to be just overflowing with tomatoes. So that's what it means to be fruitful, to be productive. If we want to be real people, to live where we are pursuing Christ, as our mission statement says, we want to pursue that real God who ultimately does the real change that only is noticed, that only is seen by the fruit we are producing. People will be able to see it. Sometimes they could even touch it, but they would certainly feel it. This is, again, why it's so important to be a part of God's family. We need to be fruitful for the family, for God's family. We've got to do our part to increase the family, like continue to add numbers to people that believe and love Jesus. We do this because we live out the love that we receive from God, from the people that we belong to, the groups of people that we belong to, the influence that people have in our lives, the influence we have in others' lives. I'm going to guess the majority of us are Christ followers or find ourselves in a church, maybe even specifically this church, is because we were invited at some point to be a part, to belong. That is the key piece. Just as you would invite people over for dinner, we need to invite people to the family of God. Oftentimes, it's much easier to invite them to a church than it is for you to do the invitation of to be wooed into a relationship with Christ. That's the role of a family member. That's why we have people over. We want people to be a part of our family. That's why we invest in relationships. We want to feel like we're part of a bigger family. The third meaning to be a part of God's family is this, if you're taking notes, is we belong to Eden. We belong to Eden. Genesis 2:15, the next chapter in Genesis, says this: "The Lord God took man, put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." God put man in the garden. Wasn't by accident that he ended up there. It was purposeful. He didn't go, "Hey, how'd I get here?" He knew that God put him in there. And it says, to work it and take care of it. Work is a responsibility. We have a responsibility. Most of us in this room, most of us listening, have a job. We'll wake up, whether that's stay at home and take care of the household, which is sometimes harder than actually going out and working an 8-to-5. But either way, we have a responsibility, and it's work. Work means you don't always love it, but it's something that you do. And it comes with responsibility, with expectations. Joy hopefully accompanies this idea of work. God put man in the garden to work and care. So a lot of my working career before I got into ministry and full-time paid ministry was I worked at a lawn care company. So we'd go out and treat lawns. And the key piece of that, if you wanted to make any money, was to take care of your equipment. Like, you had to work and care. If you didn't have the equipment to do the job, you didn't make as much money as you could. But I worked with a lot of people, especially because I trained a lot of them, that just simply didn't take care. And no matter how many times you tell them, you keep doing that, that's not going to last you very long, and then your truck or that equipment's going to be held up so that you're not going to be able to do your job, then you're going to be frustrated because you're not making the money. You're going to be working longer. Andy, how do you get off at 2:30 every day? Well, because I take care of my equipment, I'm efficient. So you, no matter how many times you'd give that spiel, inevitably there are people that just didn't care. They didn't take care of their stuff. And so in turn, it affected not just their work outflow and their financial outcome. It started to affect their emotions, their thoughts about their enjoyment of what they're doing. So we have to work and we have to care, which means we have to do it for the right reasons. We have to have the right heart. We can't do these for own selfish ambition things. Like, I'm going to feel really good about myself if I go do this outreach. I'm going to feel really good about myself if I serve on Sunday mornings. Once we start to get the heart of behind why we're doing it, and the easiest way for me to remember to do this is, I got to remember who I'm doing it for. Like, some people work for great bosses. We love them. And so the work sometimes is easier because we feel so they're so respected. And so, like, man, when I do a good job, I feel good because I'm serving him or I'm serving her really, really well. Well, we're doing these things for God, the creator of everything, who put us in our own, quote, Eden. So wherever you find yourself isn't by accident. God's not surprised you're there, but God's waiting. Are you serving with the right heart? Are you working and caring for the people that you're working for or working with or leading, which is even more important sometimes, the people that we lead, because they can see it a little easier. We have to do it from the right heart for the right reasons. Why are we doing it? Because it's for the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, which is the first verse I ever memorized, says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So that's the heart, that's the mindset, that we do it because of the outflow of our connection with Jesus. That's how we resemble and look like the Father. When you read the story of Adam and Eve, sadly what you read is they make a wrong choice. There's one tree that God puts in the garden and says, do not eat from that one. You can eat from any other tree, just don't eat from this one. Now, it's a good, fun conversation to have with people and go, how long do you think they were in there before they ate from that tree? We'll never know the answer. I tend to think they were there less than 24 hours before they took that, whatever the fruit was. Because the curiosity of man is just too much. Any Big Brother fans in here? A few of you? Well, one season, do you remember the season where they had the button? Like, do not touch this button. Well, how long do you think it took them to press that button? Which has always been my analogy, and this was like, this is it in real life, played out. It didn't take them long. Like, if I were to put a button in your house that says, do not touch, boy, just everything in you would want to touch that button, wouldn't it? And I'm betting most of us are going to touch it within 24 hours. Now that I'm off my little soapbox, something to think about later. They make this wrong choice, and when they do, sin enters the world. And when they're doing it, it just isn't like, ah, I made this wrong choice. What happens is what they're saying in that exact moment is, God, I don't trust you. You don't know what's best for me. I know what's best for me. I have my own desires, my own hopes, my own wants, my own dreams. And so they eat of the fruit and say, God, I don't believe in your provisions. They're not going to be good enough. I don't believe in your heart and your trust. And so they eat from the one tree. They don't fully understand their role. They don't grasp their responsibility. And so sin enters the world, and it's forever changed. And even in that exact moment, God had a plan. Didn't surprise him. He wasn't like, whoa, what happened here? He already knew it was going to happen. He already had the plan. He's walking through the garden, calling out. They're all hiding. They're shame-ridden. They're like, I can't believe this happens. Things feel different. They look different. And even though they fail to believe that God has what's best for them, he has a plan to redeem them. Even though they felt like, well, we just don't even belong to this family anymore. God's going to be so upset with us. He's not going to be wanting part of us. We don't belong to Jesus. We don't belong to God anymore. He, in his love and compassion, reminds them, clothes them, and says, no, 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 no. You belong to me. Now, there are consequences, as there are with sin, whether we see them immediately or in the future. But he has a plan, and he does what only he can do. And he loves them through it. When we belong to Jesus, even when we continue to do bad things, because it's not about perfection, we will never not be a part of the family of God. So he restores them back. And the reality is, some of us this morning may believe it's too late, that you've done too much, you've gone too far, you said that one thing that you shouldn't have said to that one person, you've hurt them deeply, and you feel like, I just can't be restored. Some of us believe that you've never really been a part of it, like you're just kind of going through the motions, you're waiting to feel or experience a certain thing or belong to this certain group, and you feel like, I'm just not a member of this family, I'm not a member of God, I'm not a member of his family at all, and so we haven't really stepped into that and just believed what Scripture teaches us. Some of us haven't even taken our role seriously. Maybe you've been a Christ follower too long, and I have this thing that I learned. Andy Stanley says this whole idea, like, time in erodes awareness of, meaning the more you're into something, the less you know what it means. And so some of us have been Christ followers for so long that we forget our responsibility as a family member of God. No matter where you find yourself, God is waiting. He's just waiting with open arms, waiting to tell you and remind you that you belong. Because the reality is, one man's sin may have brought this whole idea of sin and death into our world, but one man's death gives life to all. That's what Jesus did when he was defeated or died on a cross. Many people think, oh, he just lost the battle. But that cross was the victory for you and for me. And when we say that we belong to Jesus, we're saying, you know what? No matter what's going on in my life, he doesn't lose. He will use everything. Even if I don't get to see it, even if I don't get to experience it, even if I don't get to feel it, even if I don't get to hear it, he is going to leverage it for the kingdom of God. And when we truly believe, when we truly pursue Jesus, we learn more about Him, more about ourselves than we ever did before. The more we dig into Scripture, that's why we should read our Bible, the more we learn about who He was, what He did, and what He can still do, the promises that are in Scripture for you and for me. In other words, when we belong to Jesus, when we truly belong, we will long for Him. We will want to know more about Him. We will find ourselves wanting to put ourselves in these different environments to learn more and more about who He was and who He is and what He can do. We learned in this last staff meeting this past Wednesday these two ideas, that anytime you interact with somebody or something, whether you're reading a book, you're watching a TV show, but specifically when you're interacting with people that maybe even you disagree with, here are the two realities of life. You're either a know-it-all or a learner. And so when I first heard that, I was like, I love to learn. I'm reading things, I'm stretching my mind, I'm thinking of these things. Well, the reality is we could use the same idea when it comes to Scripture. We can go and come every Sunday and go, I already know all this. I've heard this story before. And what you're saying is, I'm a know-it-all. I could learn nothing new about this story. I can learn nothing new about Jesus. There's nothing new I can learn about Scripture. I've read it. Or we could say, I wonder what I have to learn in this. So when you think about that, just as you interact with people, those people that kind of rub you the wrong way, or maybe they feel like they're know-it-alls, and you find yourself defending yourself, well, what you're saying is it's more about me than it is about them. But the whole idea in this is, I'm going to challenge you to think, when you think about being a belonging to Jesus, are you approaching it as a know-it-all or as a learner? And saying, God, what do you have for me in this, where I find myself, in this circumstance? I'm going to close with this. Jeremiah 32:27. It just reminds us of his unshakable identity. He says, I am the Lord, the God of mankind. Nothing is too difficult for me. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on, no matter what circumstance, there is nothing too difficult for God. And for me, this is a great verse. There is nothing too difficult for me. I can lay it on His shoulders. He's got broad shoulders. Nothing new under the sun for Him. No matter what you're experiencing, no matter what you've experienced, no matter what you'll experience in the future, He's not surprised. He's ready to take. That's what a good father does. That's what a good family does. It's like, let's work this out together. It may happen immediately. It may be a process. But let us start moving toward the family that we've always wanted, believing that we can resemble the Father because He promises that we will become more and more like Him, and that we have a role to play in the family because we belong to Eden, in the place that God put us purposely to work and care. So here, I'm going to do a couple next steps. Every Sunday, we believe there are next steps, as Michael was talking, that come out of this message, and two things I want to point out. You may have a next step that I don't even list. That's okay. Would love for you to write that on here. Put it in the offering when it comes by in just a few minutes. But one of these next steps, here's the cool thing that, you know, I'm going to start doing personally, because I believe in next steps. I don't just do this as something to do. I believe that when we fill out the front of this card, we're saying, I'm preparing myself for God to speak. So I would say, even boldly, if you didn't fill out this card, you're saying, I know it all. I don't need a next step. God's not going to speak to me today. I would challenge every one of you, if you didn't fill one out, that's kind of what you're saying. It's like, God's got nothing for me today. I don't even need to prepare for Him to speak. But when you fill it out, you're saying, I'm a learner. He may speak to me today. It may not, but He may. I'm willing to learn. So we're going to put some next steps, offer them. They're going to be up on the screen. Write one of these down. Put it in the offering when it goes by. We'll start sending emails every Wednesday or Thursday with a follow-up, like deeper thoughts, deeper questions based on your next step that we put up on the screen, to have you wrestle with these a little more. Because I'm a firm believer that if you wrestle with these, God's going to start speaking to you. He's going to start moving in you. He's going to start moving through you in deeper ways and bigger ways than He would if you would just not do anything or simply just write it on here. So the first one is this. Accept Christ for the first time. That's almost our first step every week. It's arrogant of me to assume where you are. But if you've not made that decision, if you've not said yes to Jesus, I want to belong to your family, that is the most important decision you will ever make in your entire life. When you say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will begin to become active in you, and you'll start to notice things that you've never seen before. You'll start to think things that you've never thought before. And we want to start to equip you, which is why we're doing these emails just as a follow-up. So make sure we have your email address. The second one is this: invite the Holy Spirit to live in and through us. Just invite him in. Maybe you said yes to Jesus. You're like, this whole Holy Spirit thing is new to me. Well, great. That's a great question. What's the Holy Spirit? Put that on there. We'll equip you. We'll give you some information. We hope to do some classes on the Holy Spirit and what it looks like to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit active in our life. But we need to know where you are. So maybe that's you. You're like, I just want to invite the Holy Spirit in to live in and through me. The third one is this: take your role or our role in the family serious. In other words, be fruitful. Start doing the work. The joke I made earlier about the tomato plant is like, if we planted them, we'd have to hire somebody to come over and water them. We'll start off really, really good, but then we lose interest watering our tomato plants. And then guess what? They're not very fruitful because I haven't worked the soil, I haven't fertilized them, I haven't watered them. Well, the same is true when we think of our life with Christ. We have to be fruitful. What are we doing to nurture our relationship with Jesus? Be fruitful. Start doing the work. Take it serious. And the last one is this: just realize that you belong to Eden. Being fruitful is all about nurturing of your relationship with Christ. That's like, I got to pursue Jesus. Jesus, speak to me. That's an honorable position to be in. He'll start working in you, and that will produce the fruit. The do the work piece is God speaks to you and says, hey, you notice that person over there? They're probably lonely, or they're not doing well, or that person pops in your mind in the middle of the night. I wonder why I'm thinking of that person. Reach out to them. Do the work. When God speaks to you, when he prompts you, do it. It isn't about you. It's about Jesus. And it may not turn out the way you want or way you thought, but that's not the reality. This isn't a 1 + 1 = 2. Sometimes 1 + 1 = 100 because of the thing you said or the thought you shared to that person. Do the work when God prompts you to do it. They're going to go ahead and take up our offering. If you want to drop your connect cards in there, if you didn't get a chance to fill it all out, you're like, okay, they came too quick. There's a box in the back by the books. You can simply drop your connect card in that as well. We're going to have a time of just more worship. We're going to sing. Allow that. Sometimes you don't have to feel like you engage, you know, necessarily with your vocals, but allow that those lyrics to speak to you. But engage however you're comfortable. We're going to have communion, which is crackers and juice. You take the cracker, you dip it in the juice. It represents Jesus' body that was broken, his blood that was shed. Come up individually, come up as a family. Don't come up at all. That's really between you and God. Nobody's counting, nobody's watching. And then I'll be over here to pray. If there's anything we can pray for you, be honored to do that. But this could be a part that could be the twofold. It could be a fruitful thing where you're starting to nurture that relationship because you come up for prayer. Some of you will even be challenged as I'm up there and waiting, or somebody's getting prayed for, with that little voice in you will say, go up for prayer, and you'll start to wrestle. I don't know. That feels weird. People are going to watch. People aren't watching nearly as much as you think. And who cares if they are? That could be a chance for you to go do the work that God's asked you to do, regardless of the outcome. Let me pray. God, thank you so much. God, thanks for churches like North Star who are just generous enough to say, we want to help wherever we can. We want to invite you and your church and your community, not because they're great, but because God is, so that we can be a better hospital, we can be a better school, we can be a better army. God, thank you for Adam and Eve, who are just examples of making a wrong choice, but your loving, caring, compassionate ways of who you are more than enough, that you already had a plan of redemption. And so, God, I would just pray that those listening this morning would understand that, would feel that, that no matter what's going on, God's put into place a plan to redeem you. Those of us that are already a part, that feel like we belong to you, God, would you just challenge us where we're not being fruitful, where we're not tending to the soil, whether that's through prayer, journaling, reading our Bible, connecting with others, investing in others. God, just challenge us. Speak to us. Let us know where that is so that we can do a better job of doing those things. And God, for those of us that just simply aren't doing the work, where we're just hearing the voices of you speaking to us, the power of the Holy Spirit, that little internal voice that sometimes asks us or tells us to do things that are a little stretching, but we know it's the right thing. That Holy Spirit, Lord, when we hear it, help us, give us the strength and courage to step in and to do it, as odd as it may feel. God, for our church, I just pray that this series just reminds us that we belong to something much bigger than ourselves. That this isn't about Blue Ash Community Church. It isn't about North Star. It isn't about Sanctuary. It's about you and your kingdom. And so, God, help us to walk in that boldly and proudly, that we are followers of Jesus. The one that we can belong to no matter what's going on in our lives, that will never forsake us, that nothing is too big, nothing is too hard for our Lord and our God. Let us be the real people that you've created us to be. Let us to be real right where we are in our pursuit of you, that we would pursue Jesus, a real God, so that, God, you can do the ultimate change. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're free to get prayer and communion.